And we're back. Yes, the Flex Zone is back. I hope you missed us. We missed you too. Welcome to the Flex Zone on Fox Sports 1340 AM, the only place that gives you your sports how you want it, when you need it. I happen to be your host, Mikel Ramos, in attendance, and also in attendance, the usual suspects in the house tonight, starting with my right. Hello.
What's good? What's good, Mr. One and Only, back in the building.
Yo, what's up?
Who are you?
Well, the people already know Drizzy Dre.
Anyway, oh, this is Crevonte Herd, back at it again, at Crevonte Herd, that's C-R-E-V-O-N-T-E-H-U-R-D-E, Twitter and Facebook.
All right, this is D. Check me out on the Twitter, Die Sporting Night.
Fortunately, you don't have to wait 108 years to hit a Flex Zone because we're back every week. Cubs won the World Series. It's your boy Byron. Let's go.
Go like us on our Facebook page, The Flex Zone. Follow us and comment on Twitter and Instagram at The Flex Zone 1. If you have any questions, ideas, or possibly want to be a guest, send us an email to TheFlexZone1@gmail.com and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tonight's episode, we're having to talk about the winners of that 108 years. Took them that long, but you got it done. We talk about the World Series between the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Cubs, and we conclude the show with the National Football League. You already know what's going to happen next segment. Anywho, without further ado, enough about us. Enough about the Flex Zone. We got a special guest tonight. Not a special guest. He's special, but he's family. He gets a chance to sit at the Thanksgiving table with us. Rob Parker, hello, sir.
How you guys doing? You doing all right? Make sure I get that turkey leg, though, if I'm sitting at Thanksgiving.
You already know, man.
You card first and get the choice you want. So, I mean, you all good. Does
That's
that work?
Perfect.
Okay. How are you doing over there?
Everything is great. You know, I know we're football, basketball season and everything is all in full swing, but kind of like a letdown the last couple days. I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm turning the TV, looking around, like I'm expecting to see another baseball game. And there are no more baseball games. But, boy, that World Series was amazing to me.
We'll get into that soon. But I got to take care of some personal business of yours. In a good way, though. You got quoted on Undisputed by Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, did you see that today?
Yeah. All right, big time. You already big time, but geez.
That was actually hilarious when I seen that.
Yeah, because not only did he say no way, no how, he kind of said it the way I would say it, which was pretty funny. And then the look on Skip's face when Skip said, wait a minute, you're quoting Rob Parker to make your argument? Oh, man, like what? So Shannon's my man. I just started working with him on Undisputed, and, you know, I had never worked with him before, and he's a smart guy, hardworking guy, and so far the chemistry, when I'm there with the two of them, and the three of us, and Joy Taylor, of course, the host, and we're all at the table, it's been so much fun, and I've been enjoying it. I'm flying back out to L.A. next week. I'll be on the show next Tuesday and Wednesday, so I'm loving every minute of it.
Go ahead.
Now, do you actually believe what Shannon was saying when he said that the Raiders won't make it out of the AFC?
Yeah, it's still early. I mean, we're at the halfway point of the season. I don't think that anything's been just because they beat Denver in that game that it's all over and they're going to win the AFC. Are they playing well? Yes. And Jack Del Rio, give him a lot of credit what he's got the Raiders going. But I don't think it's a done deal. You still got the Patriots to mess around with. I don't think Denver's season is over because they didn't win that game, you know. So it's still wide open. I don't think it's a done deal yet. And it's a diss to Oakland not to crown them the champs at the midway point of the season.
Nah, those guys are definitely still young. And it's actually three really good teams in that division. So, and it's all pretty close. So definitely nothing's concrete at this point.
But we didn't bring this guy here to talk about football. You got this whole baseball IQ that we need on the Flex Zone. And I got a question, and I'm going to shoot you to the guys, the Cubs. For me, 108 years, I didn't find it ironic that how did Cleveland melt down And then LeBron James and Cruz in the building.
I loved it.
And they turned it around and came back from a 3-1 deficit. And then LeBron gives such a speech. You see the inevitable coming. Cleveland's going to rock some more and continue to rock. Shout out to Jim Carrey. And they lose 3-1, and they lose their own deficit. And the Cubs do it in such a magic. It was like Disney World came to the field or something. It was like the magicalest place on earth. The Cubs win. Record crowd. At the greatest of stories, I heard a guy from Chicago. His father was a Cubs fan. He was growing up. He died. He listened to the game at his father's grave. There's so many implications of people that grew up loving the Cubs, and they finally got what they got. The Cubs, Rob, the Cubs are the World Series champions.
It was unbelievable. You could not have written a better story, and it wasn't supposed to be easy. You know, like the Cubs sweep, and there's no angst or anxiety, even when they're leading in Game 7, 5-1, and then when Rajay Davis ties it up with a 2-run home run off of Aroldis Chapman, who hadn't given up a home run since June. You could just go through all the scenarios, and I'm sure Cubs fans were like, no, this is not happening to us. You know what I mean? Like, how could this happen? You know, everything was set up for them to win. They were picked as the preseason favorites. They jumped out of the gate, played well. They stumbled a little bit. They regrouped. They were, you know, struggled against the Giants. They got that done. Struggled against the Dodgers. Got shut out back-to-back games. Won that series in the NLCS. And then to be down 3-1. I predicted them to win before the series. And even when they were down 3-1, I still thought the rotation thing worked out for them. And the other thing was the Indians were asking Kluber to do a Herculean effort by starting 3 games in the World Series, 2 on short rest. And when you face a team 3 times in 9 days, they get a look at what you're throwing. And I thought that, and I even had on my Twitter, you can check, I said the headline for tomorrow's Game 7 will be Kluber clobbered. And that's exactly what happened. I knew they would finally get to him, and they roughed him up for 4 runs in 4 innings. So I wasn't totally surprised. It was a great story, great for baseball. That parade in Chicago was totally off the chain. Can't get over how many people were out there, young, old. It was fantastic. It really gave baseball a lift.
Now, Rob, I got to ask you, you talked about Kluber, but what about Chapman? Because Chapman was kind of in a similar situation, being called up several times on short rest.
Yeah, but I thought, you know, did I think that he would give up a home run to Rajay Davis? No, if you would have told me that in a Game 7 where, remember, he was traded from the Yankees to the Cubs just for that moment to close out the 7th game of the World Series, and he couldn't get it done. And Joe Madden was in trouble. Had he blown it and they lost in Game 7, people would have bashed Joe Madden because of maybe overusing, and especially pitching him in Game 6 with a big lead. That was the mistake, and you could point to that. But Andrew Miller didn't pitch in Game 6, and you know what? He got beat up as well. So that's what makes the game so exciting, is that it's not automatic. People still have to go out there and perform.
Rob. Well, Uncle Rob, I gotta ask. It's Crivante here. Who did it benefit more with this rain delay at midnight, I might add? Well, at least on Eastern time.
A lot of people think it benefited, you know, the Cubs, that they were reeling on their heels and all the momentum was going to was going to the Indians, because they're the ones who came back late to tie the game.
Right, right.
And that the delay really helped helped the Cubs to regroup and help them out. So most people think it did help the Cubs. And but I still think there's still more to that. There still has to do with making plays, doing what they're supposed to do. And you know what? The Cubs were the best team all year. I picked them to win the series in 5 because I just thought they were the better, complete, all-around team. And in the end, they were who we thought they were, because for them to come back from a 3-1 deficit, winning the final 2 games in Cleveland on the road is amazing.
Rob, I usually look at it on the TV, and we know the ratings for the World Series was great. It outdid Sunday Night Football Game 5 and Game 7. was record setting since 1991's Game 7 in the World Series in Atlanta. But just looking at the ratings, you think the MLB should have did better by putting the last two games on the weekend, or they did the right thing by keeping it Tuesday, Wednesday for Game 6 and Game 7?
Yeah, no, baseball's different. You can't spread it out. That's what I don't like about the NBA, when they spread out the games over the weekend and you have to wait 4 days for another game. Baseball is played every day. So for baseball to try to make games on the weekend and stretch them out would not be good for the game. That's not how it's played. People are used to seeing baseball, and players are used to playing every day. So I think what they did is fine. And you know what? The ratings were really good. And I think baseball, the World Series was a gem for the game of baseball. It really was.
Now, I got to ask Rob about the ratings. What does that tell you about the direction of baseball? And is baseball climbing back into the status of the NBA and the NFL, who's been beating them in the ratings?
But that's not true. I mean, when you say the NBA, LeBron and Steph in a Game 7 got an 18.9. Baseball got a 25.2. So when people keep saying that they're beating them in the ratings, it's just not. And that's with LeBron James and Steph Curry, two of the arguably greatest players and, you know, over the last 10 years or so. So that tells you a lot about baseball when they can do so well in a Game 7. Because you really have to look at that. You can't put it up against the Super Bowl, which is a one-game winner-takes-all. Baseball, 7 games. The NBA, 7 games. So that's more of a fair comparison. And also, when you talk about baseball, baseball has never been more popular. Baseball sells 73 million tickets, more than the NFL, more than the NBA, more than the NHL combined. Combine those three sports. Baseball by far sells more tickets every year, and every game is on television. So what does that tell you? It tells you about how popular the sport is. Anybody who tells you, and it's more popular than it was in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, right now is the golden era of baseball. Don't let anybody tell you anything else.
Well, Rob, I definitely wanted to get your thoughts. A couple questions, but first one being the Cubs, lovable losers. Question of if they will win a World Series. Now the question of when will they win the next one? This team's pretty much set for the most part. Chris Bryant, Schwarber, Lester, Arrieta, Hendricks, who could win a Cy Young. Pretty much two biggest free agents are Chapman and Fowler, but I think they possibly could even make a play at a guy like Matt Wieters at catcher. But do you think this team has what it takes to repeat? And I think we all know the answer is yes, but I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they could be like the Yankees of the 90s, early 2000s. They could be a team like that can go on a roll and maybe win three out of four, something like that. It's all set up. It doesn't mean it's going to happen because it's so hard to win. It just is so hard. I think during the post-game show one night, Alex Rodriguez made a great point. It was him, Frank Thomas, and Pete Rose sitting there. And he said, between the three of us, there's 66 years of playing Major League Baseball, and we have only 5 championships between the three of us. That's how hard it is to win. So to just look at them and say, oh, yeah, they're going to win next year and win the year after that, it's not that easy. But do they have the players, the horses, and their young 6 starters in their lineup that are 24 years old and younger? They have everything in place. And, yeah, they're poised to win a few more, and they could do it.
Rob, it's easy to talk about the victor, but with every victor, there's a spoil. And the spoiling situation was the Cleveland Indians. They lost the 3-1 deficit, and they allowed history to be made by the Cubs and gave the Cubs and their fans what they've been waiting for so long. And what do we assess about them?
Well, I mean, you know, I always say pro sports has a short menu, wins and losses. There's nothing else in between. And so for them, it's got to be hard to deal with their fans. It's probably cruel if you're a Cleveland fan that you saw a great comeback. No team had ever come back from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA. LeBron does that, delivers a championship first time in 52 years that Cleveland had won a championship, and then to have it turn around where your team is beating the highly favored Cubs up 3-1 and you got two of the last three games in your own crib, and you can't get it done. So I think the Indians, you know, some people could say they choked. They didn't get it done. They didn't win. And you know what? You got to take the L, suffer with it, and you have to wear it because it was set up for them to win one of those three games, and they couldn't get it done.
What's worse, what happened in Oakland or what happened in Cleveland? Or does it really matter? You lose a deficit,
you
it
know
such
what?
It sucks.
I would say if I had to pick one, I would have to say what happened with the Indians is worse, only from this standpoint, at least in the NBA, is arguably the best player. You know what I mean? You're the best player who was able to help them make that comeback. And I don't think you could say on either the Indians or the Cubs, the best player in baseball was on either one of those teams. So I think that's the difference. And that's why I think, the Indians had a real shot to make that happen, and they couldn't do it.
Mighty quick, Rob. The American League, we said when you was on the show last, it was wide open. We thought the Indians did have the best chance to win. But going into next year, a lot of uncertainty. The Red Sox should be still there, but after them, the Indians might lose Napoli and Davis. The Orioles will lose Trumbone and Wieters, it looks like. Just looks wide open. And who do you think would be the favorite coming into next year for the American League?
That's a good question because I think you're right. Red Sox will be back there. Toronto will be back in the mix. Those teams. Depends on what the Yankees. Obviously, a lot of money's coming off the books. Do they go out and sign somebody? Do they wait one more year before? Because they got a good young nucleus now. So they're another team, depending on what they do. The Tigers are shedding payroll. I don't know. Does Miguel Cabrera wind up in the Bronx to play first base now that Mark Teixeira is done? Do you know what I mean? The Tigers are talking about shedding payroll and trading big names, so we have to wait and see there. But, of course, the Indians are going to be on everybody's radar, and the Red Sox will be there. Toronto will be there. So those teams will all still be there.
And one more quick question. I mean, we talked about A-Rod and Pete Rose and Frank Thomas on the Fox pregame show with Kevin Burkhardt and Joe Buck and John Smoltz, I think, did a very excellent job being his first World Series as an analyst. I know a lot of people complained about Tim McCarver over the years, but was this the best crew you think Fox can have? And we looked on TBS side, they had a lot of mistakes on there, and can they fix a lot of the mistakes they had on the Turner broadcast this year?
Yeah. I mean, I think, obviously, the Fox broadcast was a lot stronger than TBS. And John Smoltz did a really good job. And I know a lot of people don't like Joe Buck, but Joe Buck has a great voice and is a great play-by-play announcer. But I will say this. I think their pre- and post-game shows, by far, they're on par with what TNT does with Barkley and those guys and Shaq and Kenny Smith. I think that's the kind of chemistry and back and forth and fun. I'm telling you, that pregame show and A-Rod, you got to remember, A-Rod and Pete Rose are two polarizing figures, and now all of a sudden they're on this show together playing off each other, and people like it. And it's fun to watch, and they mix in the jokes. I really, really thought that the pre- and post-game show was unbelievable.
I agree.
Well, Rob, a lot of big-time free agents. Speaking of AL teams, you got Joey Bats, Encarnacion, you got Wieters and Trumbo, you have Fowler, Chapman, Yankees already saying they're going to pay him. You got some free agents out there that could change the balance of power. Who are some of the big names?
Who's the big names of what?
Who are you looking for that could possibly shake the power, balance the power? I think Boston might make a play with Ortiz leaving, maybe at Trumbo. I think Wieters could be a play maybe for even the Cubs, and you got Ramos as well. Who are you looking for?
Oh, absolutely. There's all kinds of scenarios and teams. I just think that you're – usual teams that have money. The only one, like I said, that's different from years gone by is the Tigers. They're out. They're not spending the money. They're cutting payroll. So that'll be interesting to see. Does Victor Martinez, is he traded to the Red Sox to be the DH and finish out his career in Boston where he played and had success? You know, do they make a bigger splash and try to get Miguel Cabrera? Imagine him playing in that bandbox, you know, in Boston. There's all kinds of those kind of scenarios that are around. And you know what? We didn't even mention earlier talking about Texas, the Rangers, because they got knocked out so easily in the playoffs. But they had a great run. They have a great rotation. They're going to be in the mix. So there's a lot of good teams out there, especially in the American League, where I think, depending on trade and depending on who's willing to spend some money, can change their teams.
We got to get into this award season. Now that all the play is over, it's time to give honor to where it's due. We got the MVP, we got the Cy Young, manager, rookie of the year, finalist. Any snubs? Anybody you agree with? Anybody you're like, how the heck did they get voted? What are your thoughts on this whole MLB award season?
Zach Britton. Go ahead.
I don't have everything in front of me, so you'd have to throw it out and then let me give you a, you know what I mean?
All right, let's see.
What would you say, Cy Young?
For the American League Cy Young, we have Corey Kluber, Rick Porcello from the Red Sox.
And Verlander.
And Verlander, which we'll leave alone.
Right.
NL Cy Young, we have Kyle Hendricks and John Lester from the Cubs and Max Scherzer from the Nationals. I think Max Scherzer has a good chance of winning that.
He has a good chance, but Kendricks also had the ERA lead in the National League. That's nothing to be poo-poo, and plus I think he won 17 or 18 games. So he put together an unbelievable season. And remember, Cubs had a great record, was the best team in the league all year. So he might get the nod, although Max Scherzer definitely. And John Lester had a great season as well. But I think I might vote Kendricks, considering he kind of came out of nowhere and helped lead the Cubs. And then, like I said, won the National League ERA leader. In the American League, it could be Corey Kluber. It really could be. Verlander had a really good bounce-back year, but the Tigers didn't make the playoffs. His numbers were pretty good, but I still think Kluber, the Indians, and what they were able to do all year long, and then even though it doesn't count for what he did in the playoffs, because obviously the vote is during the regular season, it still also said to people they might have solidified their vote, or at least in their mind, because he also pitched well in the playoffs, even though the vote was before the playoffs.
Right. Now, the American League MVP, I think, is really tough. You have Jose Altuve from the Astros, Mookie Betts from the Red Sox, and Mike Trout from the Indians, and the National League MVP, Chris Bryant from the Cubs, Daniel Murphy from the Nats, and Corey
Seager. I think you just stop with Chris Bryant. I think Chris Bryant's going to be your MVP. The American League, I agree. I think Altuve played on a team that didn't make the playoffs, had an unbelievable season. Betts played on the Red Sox. He had another breakout season, and the Red Sox obviously won the AL East. So I think that is if I'm just going to – you know what? I'm going to go with Mookie Betts. And I think that because he played in a lot more meaningful games, he might get the benefit of the doubt, whereas – the Astros started bad all year, and you shouldn't take it out on a guy because his team is bad, but it does matter to some voters.
Right. And National League Manager of the Year, we have Dusty Baker from the Nats.
My man. You already know who's going to win that.
Joe Madden from the Cubs.
He's going to run away. It should be unanimous.
And American League,
it's not going to be unanimous because I think that the Dodgers and what they were able to do, remember, that was his first year, rookie manager, who pushed the Cubs to the limit just about in, what, six games or whatever. But I still think Joe Madden's going to win. He had the best team, and they were the best team all year, and I think Joe Madden wins that.
And then AL Manager of the Year, we have Terry Francona from the Indians, Jeff Bannister from the Rangers, and Baltimore's very own Buck Showalter.
Terry Francona in a route.
He's going to run away with that, too.
It's got to be Terry. I mean, there are some other candidates out there, but it's hard to argue against Terry.
Yeah, I don't see that. I see that as a route. That's what I see.
I just have to say one thing now that we got all that out. Uncle Rob, what do my Nationals have to do to get over this hump, man? It's killing me. It's really killing me. Like, I really have high hopes. I have high hopes every year, but it's like this year, we can do it, but ran to the Dodgers again. What do we need to do?
It is amazing because I thought the Nationals and Dusty were made for each other. Both need to win. Dusty's won three National League Manager of the Years, but he can't get over the hump at the playoffs. He just can't seem to get over the hump. And that's what he needs to win a championship, and the Nationals need to win a championship. So I thought they were going to beat the Dodgers, and it had to be disappointing again. You know, a big game, winner take all, and they can't get it done. So this year coming up, because they had the pitching, the team was good all year long, but when they get to the playoffs, for whatever reason, they just don't seem to be able to make it happen.
No Strasburg, I think that's been a big deal, the two postseason failures.
Yep, and you know what? And at least he got his big contract this year.
Wow. Real quick, Uncle Rob, while we have a few moments, your Detroit Lions are 5-4, overachieving. And Matthew Stafford playing at an MVP level. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
You know what? He played really well, but MVP level, I just think that talk is crazy at 5-4, and he lost to the Bears in Chicago, threw no touchdowns and a pick, and he lost a couple of bad games. So I'm not buying that MVP talk. Was it exciting? Did they win? I thought Mike Zimmer coached a bad game for the Vikings. He stopped the clock at the goal line, which gave the Lions time. I mean, it's just a comedy of errors in that game. And did he capitalize? He did. But you let me know when they name him MVP, and then I'll tell you I was wrong. I don't see that. Has he played better? Yes. They're 5-4 on their way to 8-8. Remember, I told you that 5-4 on their way to 8-8.
Uncle Rob, I got one last question to ask on my end, and that's about Game 7. Some people are saying that this is the greatest Game 7 in World Series history. Others compare it to the 2001 Diamondbacks Yankee Series. In your eyes, was this the greatest World Series Game 7 ever?
No way, no how.
There you go.
Yes. Sorry, it wasn't. Yes, yes.
We got that on our show?
We got that.
You got it. People are just prisoner of the moment. They always think that what happened yesterday is better than what happened before. And I covered the 2001 World Series. I was in Arizona. I remember what that was like. But people forget it's Game 7, ninth inning. They beat Mariano Rivera on a blooper over Derek Jeter's head. And pandemonium breaks out in Arizona. And the Diamondbacks win. Remember, that was very emotional. 9/11, and the whole country's rooting for New York, for the Yankees for the first time, thinking the city needs to win, you know, to heal or help heal all that's gone on. And it didn't happen. And the Diamondbacks won and beat one of the all-time greats. That was a great series. If people don't remember, you need to go look at some YouTube clips. But in that World Series, there were two games at Yankee Stadium. And in the bottom of the ninth, in back-to-back games, first, Tino Martinez hits a two-out, two-run home run in the bottom of the ninth to tie the game for the Yankees. And then the next night, Scott Brosius, two outs, two on, ninth inning, hits a two-run home run to tie the game. Never had happened before. Back-to-back games where guys hit two-out, two-run home runs in the ninth inning in the tie game in the World Series. It was unbelievable. 2001 by far, hands down.
Just my quick, Indians and Marlins too in 97 was good also.
That was a great one too. That was.
Well, Rob, you're unbelievable. Rob Parker again joins the Flex Zone, people. And I hope you have fun as always. Send our regards to the best.
We got a quote.
In the business.
We got a couple good ones. We got a couple, Rob.
Jesus Louise, you just grace us with our presence and you grace us with your presence and give us all types of presents. Thank you.
That's beautiful.
No problem. Dropping down. You know what?
And we will be watching. We will be watching Undisputed next week.
Next Tuesday, next Wednesday, baby.
Just as long as we call and you answer the phone, it's all good for us.
All right. We appreciate that. That's right. Undisputed, Fox Sports 1, next Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Have a good night, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you. On the other side of the break, National Football League, people. The National Football League. This is a Flex Zone. We'll be right back. And we're back. The Flex Zone, people, the only place that gives you your sports how you want it, when you need it. We're back. The National Football League Week 9 in the books.
Already.
It's over.
Stop. Slow it down.
Slow it down.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, thus far, you know what? I gotta quote Kirk Cousins. I like that.
Wow, Drake.
Wow,
Kirk Cousins.
Should we? Yeah, we'll say that.
I love
we'll
him in fantasy, that. Especially.
With right. that said, we go down the trail of first settling the picks. It's time.
It's time already?
The bigger winners and losers of week 9.
And it's not beta time, folks.
Oh, in the man. Flex Zone
Give me
camp.
Like, do your thing. Come back to me real quick. I got to tally it up.
You're supposed okay. to have all this ready already, brother.
Hey, you know, it was Uncle Rob on, man. It was big time. I'm sorry.
Uncle Rob and the Ravens and Steelers.
Blue highlights. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, look, I was at the game, you know.
You was, yeah.
Shout out to Dre. He was supporting the team.
So now they won because of Dre. You the next Ray Lewis, huh?
Nah, because he was there when the Redskins played.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. Anywho,
I mean, dead clock is right twice a day, baby.
You're right.
Well, while he's then that throws a couple things off because he's getting the picks together. We can't do the game ball, not so game ball without his head in the game. So what we're gonna do first? I'm gonna switch some things around, people. Sometimes we like to look around at each other and we try and we get light bulbs that go off. And when light bulbs go off, that means good new ideas. That means good new ideas that we bring to the Flex Zone and the show. Introducing a newly appointed segment within our show. I mean, it's obvious this man always has a lot to say. He's getting to a point where it's starting to get too much for him not to say it. And for him to bring it back a little bit, something's wrong. He's boiling hot, ladies and gentlemen. Cervantes boiling points. We're rubbing you the wrong way this way, bro. This week.
Guys. Where to start? A couple things.
Guys and ladies.
Of course. I'm sorry, Mikhail.
Yeah, it's a gentleman.
You're one of us. All right, guys.
Separate the men from the boys, these picks. Wait a minute.
What was grinding your gears?
Guys and
it
ladies.
It wasn't grinding his gears. His gears were grinded to the boiling point of what he's about to express at this point.
Mikhail, yes, I love indeed. It. I'm going to start with the game, the New Orleans Saints and the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, boy.
God. The San Francisco 49ers.
The bell don't work. We're going through some things in the 49ers offense. It wasn't working.
Listen, and I'm not even going to talk about the offense.
Oh,
it's the defense. The 49ers are the first team in NFL to allow 7 straight 100-yard rushers in a row. First since 1977. I'm just not understanding, like,
history.
Why is your defense this bad? Why are these guys just running, rolling up in there, going to give you 100 yards? Chip Kelly, obviously not a defensive mind. And you know another thing that grinds my gears? He has no intentions or changing anything to the defensive coaches.
Okay, now I will say this. Within this boiling points, your boiling points, there has to be a temperature level. So we got to get up there from your lowest temperature to your highest temperature. So at this point, we're at what was bigger? I never was good with Fahrenheit and Celsius. But anyways, we're at 0 degrees right now. Your midpoint is at 50, and who gets you 100? But keep going. We'll work with this segment as it gets on.
Oh, my gosh. Chip Kelly, I know it's your first year, but Byron, he's got to go. He's got to go. Right. I hate it. I don't like it. With the whole cabinet situation, I thought things would get better, and it's not. But my boiling point, that's a little bit higher. That goes a little bit higher. What is going on with L.A.? Why are they doing this to the city of Los Angeles? I don't like it. Case Keenum, why is he still starting? Jeff Fisher, why do you still have a job? I don't understand. What is Jared Goff doing? There's no reason. Why is he the only rookie quarterback not playing? And he was the first one to get picked. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what's going on in L.A. They somehow win games in the NFC West, and then they want to give Jeff Fisher extensions. I don't understand it. Then during the season, I just don't get it. Can you please see Jared Goff? I'm tired of saying Case Keenum, and it's BS for Jeff Fisher to say that he gives you the best chance to win. No, he doesn't. Yeah, don't lie to me like that.
Baloney.
If we saw that game yesterday, it was hot garbage.
Look, and the field was hot garbage, to Garante's point. They had the line still on there from the USC game.
Makes me mad. They wasn't ready for it. They wasn't ready for that game. It's like they forgot they was going to have a game.
I got to sound like Charles Barkley. The nachos in there, like them
cheese. All the women. The cheerleaders is bad.
Got like the big old women in
there. It's horrible. I don't like it. L.A., I'm sorry they're doing this to you. You're such a great town, and you deserve so much better. Nice. Kobe's gone, and now you have the Rams.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's what it is. I think I'm done, guys. I think I'm done for the week.
I like that.
Makes me mad.
I like that. makes you mad, upset. You need to go outside?
I need some water. That's what I need. Okay. I need water.
And the Kevontae's point about the Niners. How you quarterback almost threw for 400 yards and still get blown out? Can someone explain that to me?
Well, there you have it, people. We're going to work with this segment, but I hope you enjoyed this newly inclusion to what we call the Flex Zone, Kevontae's boiling points, the things that grind his gears that gets his head boiling. I'll work with that, too. I'm getting there. Anyway.
It's week one. We're good.
I'm working with it. Anywho, scores to settle, please. Byron, week nine,
quick
Flex Zone.
We'll start from the top. Mikel, you went 9-3. You have 85. Pretty good week. Kevontae, you went 8-4. You have 83, so only two games back. Still close. D, you went 9-3. You have 80, so you still hanging tight.
That's right.
Dre, you went 9-3. Real good week, brother. You was at the game. You was getting it done. Got 77. And I actually had the best week. I went 10-2.
There you go.
Dead clock is right twice a day. And like I say, a blind squirrel finds a nut. And I got 73.
Or he ends
That's
up
right.
on the or he
That's
ends
right.
up on the field at in
oh,
like,
yeah.
and then what we call Green Bay. Anyways.
Good one.
I like it. Byron.
I don't know.
It had to come eventually. It had to come at some point,
man,
right?
It's 16 weeks, 17 weeks.
Right.
So it was going to happen
right.
eventually. I'll take it.
That's right.
And I'll continue to stay where I'm at, hopefully. Anyways, humble.
That lead is starting to diminish, girl.
I mean, it's diminishing, but it ain't taking over yet. So as long as he keeps saying my name,
I'm a catcher.
We're going to catch it. So it's fine. It's still early.
I say, oh, well, we just passing the midway point.
That was the excuse at first.
So you know what I'm saying?
I'll take it. Anywho. All right, game balls, not so game balls. Oh, my gosh. Oh. I think I'm going to start first.
All right.
You should.
I want to hear this.
My game ball. It's been a long time, Sunday Night Football, since we had a, I don't want to say a good game on Sunday Night Football, but it's been a minute. Been a long time since we had a big night, Sunday night in the black hole.
Yeah.
And they delivered and gained R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to the Raiders. Because the first primetime game in the Coliseum in a decade, and they deliver in a big stage. Stole possession of first place in the AFC West. They deserve it.
Answer Dre's question.
Jack Del Rio, baby.
That's right.
7 and some change.
And Dre,
well.
Hit it, Dre.
30-20. They beat the defending champions.
They are the
Raiders.
That's right.
I love it. And you know what, guys? I didn't hesitate on that pick at all. Raiders. I said instantly, Raiders.
Just for giggles, Derek Carr, 20 from 31 yards, 184 yards. Latavius Murray, Jesus Christ, 20 carries, 114 yards, 3 TDs.
Yeah, fantasy,
we have to talk
baby.
About Trevor Siemian. We won't. Anyway.
Should we? anyway, Derek Carr, dare I say it, MVP?
Yeah, he's a candidate.
He's in a discussion.
My not-so-game ball, you know, Jesus Christ. My not so game ball. Oh, wait. Honorable mention. Honorable mention for a game ball, but this has nothing to do with football in a sense of what's on the field. Brandon Marshall, he's took his time to be involved in the whole protesting during the national anthem, and now he's decided that he doesn't want, if we ask the question of it becoming a fad, he doesn't want it to become a fad. He doesn't want to do too much symbolism, as he likes to call it. He's ready for some action. So he did his time. He's ready to move forward.
There you go.
I kind of give him that. I think it's time that we get off the knees and, you know, we kind of look at other ways to actually make a stance and see some action move on. But I'm glad that they took a stance. My not-so-game ball goes to the 49ers. What the hell? Anyways, moving on.
That was the one from the Broncos, right?
Huh?
That had the...
Brandon Marshall, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I've been dying for this.
You have a game ball, a not-so-game ball, sir. You
want to
start with the good ball, or you can start with the good news?
Yeah. My game ball goes to Mike Wallace.
Woo-hoo!
Because
boy, got some burners on him. He got some burners on him.
Mike Wallace and John Harbaugh. Because Mike Wallace set
I wouldn't give Harbaugh now.
No, because Mike Wallace set a franchise record from scrimmage. And John Harbaugh for being the most winningest coach in Baltimore Ravens history. Yes.
Yippee.
That miracles.
He's been a good coach. He's a top 10 coach. I don't care what you say.
Even though Harbaugh tell you that the offense looked great.
Can we stay in this year's record?
But
does that matter this year's record?
So shout out to the home team.
Okay. That's right.
But,
But, well, actually, no, it doesn't matter because they're first in their division.
Yes, we're right. In first place.
And
well,
if 4-4, like I said, it would be as late.
So. Well, if we want to regale the tale that happened, since you want to talk about series, we have to regale the tale that was. It doesn't matter how much you lose, just as long as Pittsburgh comes down, you defeat them.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, that's the game we always get up for, and that's why my not-so-game ball goes to the kicker, Chris Boswell.
Woo! I tell you. What was that, Little River Dance?
You got one dance. Job, bro. You got one job.
How don't you know the rules?
Well, I saw it. I was like, I don't think he did that right. I don't think that's what's supposed to happen.
It wasn't.
Not
it
only
wasn't.
did he bosh the kick.
Boy?
But then he go and proceed to kick it.
Kick it afterwards. Like, he kicked it afterwards. Yeah, yeah.
Like he was grade school.
No,
like
what's wrong with him?
Like a little, like a bully at recess.
So
just
you say
all upset.
He iced himself.
Yeah. Shake it. All I can do is just shake my head.
Speaking of Mike Wallace, 4 receptions, 124 yards, including a 95-yarder. And it beats to be a former Steeler because you give him the ultimate.
Back-to-back 100-yard games. Yeah, I see Mike Wallace balling out. Even got a call from Dion this week.
Ooh, that's good.
All right,
that's always good.
We can go left, we can go right. Which one y'all want to do?
We can bring it this way.
Yeah.
You guys know I like to start with the not-so-game ball because I like to end on a good note. Going back to my boiling point, it's L.A. And I'm not blaming it on the city. It's just the Rams. It's Jeff Fisher and Case Keenum. I don't like the relationship, and I can't see how the city of L.A. would like their relationship because it's not working. And I don't know what y'all are doing with Jared Goff development, but it's not working.
It makes no sense. We got the Lakers turning it around. I mean, the Dodgers doing some big things.
And you bring in the football team. You bring in the football team. It's like, all right, yeah, we about to make some money. You get a football team. Okay. It's not working out. It's not working out at all, and I don't know how long it's going to last.
USC, baby. Still the best football team.
There goes D.
In L.A.
I would disagree with you. And one time. Roll Tide.
I said in L.A. We ain't talking about in college football. In L.A.
It don't matter where they at. They're the best team. Continue.
Oh, God.
D.
And my game ball is going to go to. That's my dog. I say, and that's my dog. Once again. 8 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown. It was nothing they could do with him. I don't know what the Bucs defense was doing. They had my boy
Vernon Hargraves.
Love him, but he's 5'10". Yeah. He's 5'10". Why are you leaving him on the island with the arguably the best receiver in the league? That's crazy, and he ate a lot. That's my dog.
Somebody record it.
Woohoo.
He ate a lot.
All right, the game ball yesterday, got to give it to the Colts. They willed their way in a game in Green Bay where a lot of teams don't win in Green Bay. It seems like it's easy now to win in Lambeau. Didn't used to be that way.
Oh, no, it's easy to win. That's a home game for the other team now.
Yeah, I see. And,
my man,
there's no need to
be respectful.
Oh, no. Look, we're just saying.
Hey, look, I'm just saying.
Hey, man, Colts head to the bye. On a good note, Andrew Luck, 23 of 36. I can't get that right. 281 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. He had 2 interceptions. Frank Gore sighting.
Gore.
19
Gore,
carries,
Gore.
60 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I like
Frank
that. I like
Gore.
That.
And Frank Gore, quality, it has a Hall of Fame career, so he might be going to camp.
Hey, that's true. That's true. Hey, honorable mention, we're going in the college ranks to the two.
Ooh, I like that.
No.
To the two beatdowns that happened with – Michigan and
can we
Ohio
do that?
State.
Is that a flag on the play on that? Because
no,
it's
okay. It's okay. It's a game ball, not a game ball.
No, the way Ohio State Michigan.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
Yeah, the way Ohio State Michigan playing, they can beat some NFL teams.
Don't call me Roger Goodell though, but I'll allow it.
They can beat some NFL teams, you know. And the not so game ball. Jesus Christ, the New York Jets quarterback situation. Why ain't Bright Petty playing, people? Why?
How many more people do you want to?
Sucks.
How many more people do you want to put in this?
Look, we're going to have the Rams and Jets here shortly to pick. This is a train wreck. Who's going to win that game? That's a train wreck.
49ers, Rams, and the Jets just
Rams
need to exchange teammates.
If anything's a train wreck, it's Brandon Marshall's hair. Good.
No,
gosh.
No.
Like, can you get that together?
I know the Jets is losing all over the place. I feel sorry, Matt Forte, man. Make sure they stay in Chicago and lose there, too.
But it looked so good in the beginning. Yeah, it looked really good in the beginning, but.
Man.
But Chicago's no better.
All right, Byron, finishes off, shall you?
Not so game ball. Carson Wentz, starting to come back to earth a little bit recently. I was not a part of the Wentzylvania phenomenon. I thought he was pretty good, but had a lot of work to be done. Don't have a great receiving core, but that's neither here nor there. Now, with this game ball, I could go a lot of places. You know, like I told y'all last week, Odell.
You're probably going to go Dallas.
Odell did his thing, you know, my favorite player.
Of course.
Just got to talk about how great he is. And John's still in the mix in the NFC East. I could go to Philip Rivers. I was in San Diego.
Flip.
Getting it done, baby. Flipping the right way. You know, I can go to Dallas, Dak and Ezekiel Elliott. But I'm going to do something for my man Dre. He didn't hear me earlier. Talked about staying with NFL. I'm going to go to the NBA. The Los Angeles Lakers, Dre.
That's right.
They look very good. Mikal, right. you basking this too.
This is against it. This.
Right.
This is Laker Nation.
I might be turning over a new leaf. It won't be a Kobe jersey, but it might be a Lakers jersey.
I love the fact that the Lakers are producing and they're showing that there's life after Kobe. There's life after what was. However, they played a freaking Golden State team that was unenthused.
What?
Not there. And they were tired from everything they exhausted.
They won against Houston. They beat Atlanta. I get it. It's going to take some problems.
Please don't get us to NBA finals yet. I love the Lakers. Thank the Lord. Relax.
They have a good bench. They win at home and a great coach. Three things you need with
a young
team.
How more realistic with the Lakers?
They give me cause to pause. I like what I see from them. They may be in conversation for the AC. I'm not going to go that far yet. It's early. They get the Mavericks too. They can win against them.
All right, people.
I like where they're going.
Thank you.
We got to move forward. I give you all the time in the world because guess what? Week 10. Oh, woo, did you ever think we'd make it to week 10?
This fast.
People, week 10 of the National Football League is here. We got to get these picks,
Starting Thursday night.
The Browns and the Ravens. I think the Ravens should beat the Browns, right? Or are they going to give them 20?
It's a bad turnaround. I don't like this turnaround. I've been on the record. I do not like Thursday night football. Yeah.
This is the ultimate trap game.
This is a
divisional game.
You ain't
lying. Speaking of trap games, 2007, the Ravens lost to the Dolphins, who ended up being 1-15. That one win was against the Ravens, Cleo Lemon. They need to remember this. The Browns are playing hard, but the Ravens will win.
Right?
I agree.
Josh McCown plays, it might be a very tough game.
If I agree.
The Ravens might win.
You already know, as D would say, if it ain't tight, it ain't right.
That's right.
So it's going to be a close game, but I think the Ravens could handle their business.
We want to give a shout out to Joe Flacco, 18 of 30, 241 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and that win.
The best quarterback in Ravens history and the best coach in Ravens history. Look at that.
They are.
They brought us a chip, so.
They are.
That's all we ask is one.
All right, we move down that bracket. We're getting a Sunday. Dang, I'm mad when we don't get any London games. I like to say London and Wembley. Anyways. Texans at the Jags. The Texans will win this game.
Byron.
Let it go.
Get off the wagon. The wagon's dead. The wagon is dead.
I tried to tell you.
Dead.
I actually had a good week of picks, so I'm going to go with the Texans.
I tried to tell you.
Off of a bye, by the way.
And watch this be the one time that
Jacksonville.
No, I say this, though. The quarterback, we know, Mr. Osweiler, did not play well on the road. This will be a close game.
That's very true.
Houston in a close game.
I'll take the Texans, but yeah, I'm glad you abort ship.
I think we all
Blake,
the
Blake
Texans
Bortles,
this
man.
Week.
Just too
yeah,
many.
Yeah, I'm definitely Texas.
I'm all for bouncing back off of a loss. However, the Broncos go face the Saints at home. I'm taking the Saints.
And it's at home. I'm cringing. And it's at home.
But I'm going to take the Saints.
And you know what? I don't even think you should cringe like that because I'm going with the Saints, too.
I think the Saints have more offense than anything that the Denver
and
Broncos
And also, the Denver Broncos lost.
CJ Anderson. It's been a big deal.
No, and the defensive lineman, was it Wolf?
Derek Wolf.
He made that D-line go. He was definitely the run stopper and allowed, you know what I'm saying, the pass rushers to get up the field, pin the ears back. I'm with you, McKay. I'm going with the Saints. And they're at home. You know how the Saints play at home.
Saints at home.
They march in.
This is another road game for the Denver Broncos, and I think that the Oakland Raiders actually gave you the blueprint on how to beat this Broncos team.
No running game.
It's not even a blueprint.
No running game. Make Trevor Siemian beat you. That's it.
I'm rolling with Who That Nation, Drew Brees.
I think we all rolling with the Saints, and that might equal Denver win. But go ahead, folks.
This is a great topic of conversation. Rams at the Jets.
Oh, God almighty. Jesus.
Who's the quarterback for the Jets again?
It should be Bryce Petty, personally.
Like Perry Green at this point.
I don't like picking the Rams, so I'm going with the Jets.
Rams coming east to west. A tie.
Let's move on, shall we?
Do you get extra points for calling that?
Case Keenum will make one more mistake than Fitzpatrick. Jets.
This should be interesting.
The Eagles, that defense, Dave. Let's go. Let's look at the Eagles, matter of fact. The Eagles. interesting enough, it's nothing like a great NFC East battle, but it didn't happen the way you wanted to happen. I mean, Carson Wentz, 27-47, 364 yards, two touchdowns. After 3-0, they're now 4-4. They have no answer for the man that is, who is he?
That's my dog.
He goes in, he runs all over the Eagles.
You're crazy,
they
man.
They will lose another one.
What?
I take the Falcons, baby.
What?
Matt Ryan really? Playing at MVP level.
Yeah, he might be the league MVP.
But, I mean, look, this Eagles team, I will say that this could be a trap game for the Falcons.
They did beat
well.
Minnesota at home.
And not only that, though.
The Eagles do play a little better at home.
The Eagles actually could have beaten the Giants, but turned the football over. Carson Wentz looking like a rookie out
down
there.
The stretch, they can't.
I'm still rolling with the Falcons, though.
And to the Eagles' defense, they will have the NFC East foes all at home in the second half of the year.
I wouldn't be surprised if – I don't know how much of a hammer, but I wouldn't be surprised if – I mean, Matt Ryan's thrown for 3-4. I mean, how many yards did your boy get last week?
A lot.
Okay, then.
A lot.
We move forward. Let's make it quick. Chiefs, Panthers.
Oh, my bad. Falcons. I'm definitely – duh.
I like what I've seen out of Carolina the past few weeks.
I'm going to go with the Panthers.
I like the Chiefs on the road. The Panthers still, to me, hasn't gotten
I like the Chiefs on the road, too. The Panthers are still struggling.
Alex Smith is back, ladies and gentlemen, playing quarterback.
We gotta keep it moving, fellas.
Well,
steady.
You know what? I'm gonna roll with the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Panthers too. Let's keep it steady but moving. Bears at the Buccaneers. I'm taking the Bears.
Buccaneers at home.
Buccaneers. Oh my gosh! If you mess this up, come on, Mike Evans. Come on, baby.
This may be the first time all y'all picked them, so I'm going with the Buccaneers.
I'm going with the Bucs too.
This should be an interesting one. The Redskins off a bye. They play the Vikings, a Vikings team that at some point, if we thought this was gonna get a little bit harder as the season progressed, this might be something that's totally in the Redskins' favor. Turning you already downwards. Know where I'm going, player. Redskins,
close game.
You know what, Mikhail, I'm with you too. The Vikings have not been themselves in like the past month, so I like our chances. I actually like our chances next week.
And then North Turner leaving too, like that. Yes,
he gone.
But you know what? He left, and they had a 31st ranked defense. Ooh. So I mean, what were you really leaving?
This is interesting as well. The Packers,
the Skins too.
Another team that has not been the team as, relaxed. I mean, is it a good time to say, are we still relaxing in Green Bay? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, 26 to 43 yards, 297 yards, three touchdowns, one interception and a loss to the Colts. However, they can't win on the road, they can't win at home, but they should beat the Titans. They better.
Yes. I say
they're on the road. I don't know.
I say Aaron Rodgers gets it done.
No,
I don't think it's Aaron Rodgers out there. I think this is a problem bigger than Aaron
Rodgers. They miss Clay Matthews, Green Bay. Man.
I mean, he's kept him around, so I'm going to still roll with the bad man.
We move on. Packers. We got to go.
I'm rolling with Aaron Rodgers.
Dolphins, Chargers.
Chargers at home, Flip.
Chargers at home.
Wait, all I have to say is Philip Rivers or Ryan Tannehill.
We move on. Chargers. I mean, Cardinals, 49ers. This should be quick.
Hammer time.
Let's get it going. Let's go.
Hammer.
Choo choo.
Hammer.
You might as well start the train back up, baby.
Let's go.
We're off the bye.
The choo choo.
At one point, I would say this is a statement game, but I don't know how much of a statement this would be the way the Steelers have been playing. I might mess around and pick the Cowboys. The Steelers are at home. Big Ben, is he really ready?
He's still hurt, man, and he played like it against the Ravens. I don't know.
This is a trap game. But I think that the Cowboys pull it out.
Cowboys.
I got the Cowboys. Keeping it moving. Last thing.
I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Good one on Sunday Night Football, baby. Seahawks, Patriots.
Super
Bowl preview.
I haven't picked against the Seahawks all year.
You need to now.
This is hard for me. I'm going to. I'm picking the Patriots.
Yeah.
I think
especially what we're saying from Seattle right now.
Who y'all think I'm picking? The Patriots.
Last but not least, this one right here. The Giants, ladies and gentlemen, winners of three straight.
This is easy.
My two teams.
Eli Manning, 22 of 36, 257 yards. Count them, four touchdowns. Gentlemen, the Bengals, I know they got A.J. Green on that other side, but guess what time it is.
Look when they're playing.
What time is it?
Look what they're playing. It's Monday night.
I love the wide receiver matchup, but I'm going with my boy Odell like I always do.
Okay. I'm picking the Giants.
It's Monday night.
Are you Giants. Like you said, Monday night with the Bengals. And Eli Manning actually performs in prime time.
And real quick, I know we didn't hear it, but I'm picking the Steelers over the Cowboys. Cowboys are going to lose the game eventually. I think this is the game to lose.
I disagree with you, Byron, only because Jerry Jones said that he would regret winning the Super Bowl with Romo, and I think that Dak is looking over his shoulder, and he's going to keep that job.
Oh, yeah.
No. We need him to lose it.
However, Romo. what I did hear that kind of sort of threw me for a loop, I did read something that didn't – I mean, America's team is looking more and more like Dak Prescott's, but they don't need to accelerate Romo's return. So,
but you know what they're not.
He's always in the back. He's always in the gear. Dak is giving you what you want to keep it present. We got in the show, though. So, in other words, if I can get to the words. Okay, we want to thank True Sounds for our theme song. Don't forget to like us on our Facebook page, The Flex Zone. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TheFlexZone1. If you have any questions, ideas, or possibly want to be a guest, send us an email to TheFlexZone1@gmail.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Flex Zone. Listen to the weekend edition of The Flex Zone, which can be heard on SoundCloud and iTunes featuring Chanel and Courtney. Shout out to the boy Tristan Doe too. We got to get this first take win, baby. Also, catch us on Arena Sportsnet, Wednesdays at 10 p.m. This show is executively produced by Andre Melton. Our senior producer is Crevante Hurd. Our associate producer is Byron Dixon. And our host, you hear the voice, me. Our production team is Dwayne Allen, Hugh Scott, Brian H. Waters. Our engineer is Tyron Rice. Marketing team, Ava Key and D.
Free Ty.
Free him.
Little inside joke there.
Passing my picks to the left.
Thank you.
In the show, people. I'm going to say it like I say every week. I don't care if it doesn't rhyme. It's mine. I'm Mikella Kim Mikella on the show. Byron, what is it?
We gone.
We gone.
Peace.
Bobby's Bullet Points. Next week.
Peace.